This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Welcome to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Rob Cohen. Rob is the Acting Program Director for the National Institutes of Health Information Technology Acquisition and Assessment Center. How'd I do it? NITAC. How'd I do there, Rob?
That sounds good. It's the NITAC program.
Yes. It's a mouthful, though, too, isn't it? But Rob, NITAC and NIH is one of the agencies that's been designated by OMB as an executive agent for the acquisition of information technology on a government-wide basis, and you have a series of contracting programs that I know you manage, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But first, I wanted to talk a little bit about your background, and you know, first of all, how'd you get into government, and what was your first job, let's say?
Well, thanks, Roger. I actually started working for the government about 16 years ago for the Small Business Administration in Boston. I became the deputy director for the Northeast office in Boston. Spent a lot of time working on access to capital issues and entrepreneurial development, business development, and eventually got to spend a lot of time in the government contract arena working with small businesses. And that's where I came to Washington at the SBA, working on some policy issues and some government contracting issues for them. And that's how I started my career.
Well, it's good to have a fellow New Englander on the show, and
thank you.
You know, and Boston's one of my favorite places, so try to get back there whenever I can. So how did that sort of transition go? You went from, you know, where you're doing SBA, and you just got sort of pulled at the SBA, got pulled into contracting and procurement issues, and it just did it appeal to you? I mean, obviously
it did appeal to me. It looked like an area where small businesses could really grow, you know, in the market. I saw that government contracting was becoming more and more popular with small businesses, and I started getting pulled into that arena in assisting in developing programs and policies that help those small businesses.
So how long were you at the SBA?
So at the SBA for about 12 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. And did you go directly to NIH from the SBA?
Is I that did.
Okay.
I
so
did.
How was that transition?
Well, it was a hard transition because I really, my passion was really for small business and working with small business. But this job came up at the NIH as a deputy program director for the for their GWAC program, and it became it was a very attractive program for me because it's sort of run like a small business, and we are a self-sustaining program designated by OMB to service the entire federal government.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about what your role is at NIH, and as a program director, are you responsible for managing all the GWACs or that you have, or how does that work?
Well, as the acting program director, I'm responsible for.
Acting program director.
Thank
right?
you. I'm responsible for three government-wide acquisition contracts. As you know, there are three agencies that administer government-wide acquisition contracts for OMB. One is GSA, one is NASA, and NIH is the third. We actually manage three IT contracts that can be used by any federal agency. The CIO SB3 contract that many of you know was awarded this past year, and then subsequently we also awarded a CIO SB3 small business contract. Which is a $20 billion set-aside contract for small businesses. And then we also have the ECS3 electronic commodity store contract for IT hardware and related services.
Well, let's unpack that a little bit and talk a little bit about each one of those contracts.
Sure.
And let's talk a little bit about first CIO SP3 and what does that contract entail, and what's the value of it? Let's get a little profile of it.
Sure. Well, the CIO-SP3 contract is an IDIQ contract for information technology services. It encompasses the scope is everything IT. So most anything, whether commercial or you know, unique requirements, can be competed through that contract by any federal agency. It is a task order setup contract, and it's it has a $20 billion ceiling. So we've, and it's a 10-year, you know, period of performance. So, it was awarded this past year and will run for 10 years, and it has 53, contract holders, a mix of, other than small and some small businesses. But, you'll see, looking at that contract, you have some of the large IT integrators, and some of the very well, known, IT companies that service the entire federal government.
So, and with that contract, you know, in terms of your customer base, since it is a government-wide contract, who is your biggest customer?
Well, for all of our contracts, the biggest customer is certainly within our own organization, the Health and Human Services and NIH are heavy users of the contract. But our authority and our mission is to reach out to the entire federal government. So DOD is actually right up there as, you know, tied for number one in use of the contract. But also it's used by almost every federal agency. We have orders from the Department of Treasury, Department of Transportation. Every small agency and large agency has access to this contract and utilizes it.
So in that regard, you awarded it last year. Is it all fully ramped up and folks using it now? Or
it's all ramped up. This contract was awarded in the midsummer and was heavily used in the last quarter of fiscal year 12. Mm-hmm. And now we're ready to go and moving forward just to get out there, make sure that everybody knows that it's available and how to use it. Some of the things that you know, people should know about this contract is that there are 137 labor categories in this contract. The ceiling prices are fixed on all those labor categories. We spent an awful lot of time going through source selection and awarding these contracts. We believe, and it's proven that we have the best of the best for IT contractors on these contracts. And they went through a very rigorous source selection process, both technical, but also for price and cost. We have been able to show that these contracts are very competitively priced and are you know, showing that the average rates on this contract are 15% lower than any other IDIQ contract of this kind. So we're very proud to have this contract out there. You know, our mission really now is to make sure that we administer that contract, you know, very effectively, but also to get out there and spread the word to make sure that all of the buyers throughout the government know that this is available to them and how to use it.
So in that sense, is it a direct order, direct bill type where the agencies place the orders directly themselves, or do you place them on their behalf and conduct the task order competitions?
All of the orders are direct order. Okay. So every order has a contracting officer at the agency that's has the requirement, and that they sign the order, they control the order. They control the administration of that task order. It's very important that, you know, one of the things we found out over the years of running this program is that customers, you know, want to maintain control over their orders. You know, we like to say, and it's true, is that this is like having your own contract within
sure,
your own agency.
Sure, yeah.
But you don't have to go through the time and effort and cost of creating that your own contract. You're just issuing task orders against an existing
Right, you're sort of leveraging, G-Rex, you know, resources on behalf of the government-wide.
Right, that's really how this program came to be. I mean, it came as a result of the Clinger-Cohen Act back in the late 90s.
Oh, I remember.
And it really was to streamline the acquisition process for information technology.
So in that regard, with the direct order, direct bill, do you provide sort of like an orientation for the customer agencies of how the you know, you expect the contract to work when they're using it? Is that, or training or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we offer and that we feel very strongly about, and OMB feels very strongly about as well, is getting out there in front of the buyers throughout the federal government, providing training. We actually have a structured 1 to 2 hour training in which we go out to any facility throughout the country, and meet with buyers and meet with IT program people, CIOs and CIO offices, and talk to them about what they can purchase off of these contracts, how they can purchase off of them. We do a demonstration of how they purchase through our electronic systems that are very streamlined, very quick and easy to use. You know, every single order that is placed on our contract goes through an electronic system, making it very structured and easy to... Go ahead.
Yeah, Rob, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we do have to take a break right now. But when we come back, we'll be talking more about COSP3. My guest today is Rob Cohen. He is the Acting Program Director for NITAC at NIH. And you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Rob Cohen. Rob is the Acting Program Director for NITAC, and under Rob's responsibilities are COSP3, COSP3 Small Business, and ECS3. Right? Did I say that one right?
Right.
Yeah. We've all worked in government, right? The acronyms, they just sometimes they get a little tongue-tied. But Rob, when we took the break, you were talking about the training that you provide for customer agencies when they use COSP3, and just want to see if you had anything else to add to that.
Sure. Well, any agency or contracting officer or CIO office can contact us, and we'll come out to their facility and provide this free training to them. It's just a quick overview of our contracts, how they're set up, how orders can be placed against them, and what the value-added services that we offer to our customers and what they are and how they can utilize them.
Well, why don't you provide that that number and information if you want to for folks. And we can do it a couple times through the show, but go ahead.
Well, anybody can contact us through an email. It's nitacsupport@nih.gov. That's nitacsupport@nih.gov. Or they can call us at 877-773-6542. We also have a website that offers a lot of this information. And also you can click on a link on that website and ask for free training, and we'll schedule it. It's nitac.nih.gov.
Great. That's good for folks to know and potential customers. Well, let's talk a little bit about your small business. I know with your background working at the Small Business Administration for, would you say, 12 years and being involved in procurement there with small businesses. I know you guys established this contract. Can you talk a little bit about it? It's COSP3 Small Business.
That's right. And, when I first came to NIH at the GWAC program there at NITAC, we were in the development stages of creating these contracts, COSP3. And we decided that we were going to devote $20 billion to small businesses over the 10-year period. So we created a contract that was recently awarded less than 6 months ago that is 100% small business. It has set aside categories for hub zone businesses, service disabled veteran businesses, small businesses, women-owned businesses, and 8A businesses. So what does that mean? That means that any government customer can come to this contract and do a set-aside requirement in any one of those areas to meet their IT needs. We have seen just in the past 6 months that almost 40% of the orders that are coming into our office are being competed through these small business categories. So we're very, very aggressively and have a lot of passion for small business within our organization and within NIH, and we want to make sure that small businesses have a competitive leg up when it comes to competing for IT acquisitions. And we put this contract forward to assist agencies in meeting their small business goals making it very easy for them to do set-aside requirements for every type of IT acquisition that is out there.
Yeah, and that's interesting because, you know, this is, it's interesting approach because you put all the different small business categories like on one contract. I mean, and it, you know, in other instances, there some agencies have done separate. Like there's an, you know, there's one for 8A, there's one for veteran-owned, there's one. So is that, is, have you found that to be a pretty efficient and effective approach?
I think it's a very efficient and effective approach. It offers all the options to a buyer
in one place.
In one place. Yeah. You can come to a contract and all you're doing is clicking on the button for the set-aside category that you want to compete the order in. There's no easier contract in order to meet your small business requirements in.
Well, that, yeah, that's, and right now you're seeing about 40% of that work that's coming into NIH is going to the small business contract.
So yeah, I mean, we actually awarded the CIO SP3 small business contract after the CIO SP3 full and open contract. Mm-hmm. And so there was a 3-month gap where we only had the full and open contract. But even with that 3-month gap, we're seeing 40% of the orders mm-hmm. between the two contracts going to small businesses.
And is that from your view looking at it, is that as a result of the emphasis, you know, currently on, you know, trying to improve small business numbers across the, you know, the executive branch? Is that what you're seeing? Is this actual real result to that?
Yeah, I mean, we work closely with the Small Business Administration and with our small business offices and through all the industry groups out there to make sure that when we created this contract and when we, you know, developed it, that it was going to meet the needs of the government for their small business goaling. And, you know, what we did is we developed it in such a way that it made it very easy for agencies to compete these requirements for small businesses. And if they're looking for service-disabled veteran, goaling, mm-hmm. They can very easily come to our 10 service-disabled veteran businesses who have been able to prove through very rigorous source selection process and through competitive pricing process that these are the best 10 service-disabled veteran small businesses that can provide these IT needs.
Right.
When we went through source selection on this contract, we had lots and lots of proposals.
I'm sure
so,
you did.
You know, one of the things I want to emphasize is that these small businesses on this contract are the best small businesses for IT. There were many, many more businesses who did not get an award on this contract than did.
Right.
It was a very, very aggressive and competitive process.
So that's interesting. I mean, how many small businesses in total, I guess? I mean, you mentioned there's 10 service-disabled veteran-owned.
Yeah, so there are about 5 hub zone businesses. There are 10 service disabled veteran businesses, about 25 women owned businesses, and about 40 8A businesses, for a total of about 95 small businnesses.
Wow, that's different. That is also a different perspective than a lot of the other, these type of contracts that have lots and lots more contractors, right?
Yeah, when we went through source selection, as I said, you know, we drilled it down to the best of the best, and we only awarded to those who showed us that they were going to be able to compete and effectively meet the government's needs for the entire federal government for IT, but also at a very cost competitive price.
Right. To me, that's not, I mean, and I get you, be interested in your thoughts. It seems to me that's what you've created is an environment where you have competition, you know, for the task orders, but it's manageable in a certain sense, right? I mean, because you're not overwhelmed by numbers. Is that one of the things that you've got the competition, you've identified, you know, the best in class, awarded that contract, but it's not in terms of, it doesn't overwhelm someone when they come to it. Is that something that you found?
Well, that was how it was developed, and we wanted to make sure that through the source selection process that we had enough businesses in each category that would provide the competition that the government's looking for, but also not have too many that would overwhelm both our program and the agencies. We wanted to narrow it down to those who were the best.
Right, and that's sort of that balance, I think, is something that is unique, I think, in your approach with regard to that small business contract. Now let's turn to the last of your not necessarily the last, but the third or the, you know, part of the family, I guess, the ECS3 GWAC. Can you talk a little bit about that and what it is?
Yeah, well, that is the electronic commodity store contract. It was awarded 10 years ago. It is an IT products contract. You have a lot of the IT manufacturers as well as IT resellers in providing IT products and related services through delivery orders through this contract. There are 43 businesses on this contract. Many of them are small. About 60% of the businesses on this contract are small businesses. And it's really a contract where any agency can come to and compete orders for IT commodities, also related services for warranty and maintenance, even for some cloud services, software services. So it is a very robust contract for IT commodities. It is a fixed price contract, very aggressive pricing. Every single item that's added to this contract is reviewed. For the line item is reviewed for price and for scope and for a handful of other things before it is added to the contract to ensure that when agencies do come to compete the orders on this contract, that they are getting the best price, but they're also getting the products that are allowable to be sold to the federal government.
Sure, like Trade Agreements Act and all that kind of
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. So, hey, Rob, we do have to take our next break, but when I come back, I've got a couple of questions about ECS3, and then we'll talk a little bit about the federal market in general. My guest today is Rob Cohen. Rob is the Acting Program Director for NITAC from NIH, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
In the ever-changing national security and IT environments, L3 delivers innovative, cost-effective solutions. As a Fortune 200 company, L3 offers customers global end-to-end services and solutions for large-scale systems. No matter the challenge, L3 has the agility, technology, and innovation required for mission performance. From cybersecurity to next-generation IT, L3's passion for its customers' missions drives its commitment to excellence. L3. Agility, innovation, performance.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Rob Cohen. Rob is the Acting Program Director for NITAC, and his responsibility includes CIOSP3, CIOSP3 Small Business, and ECS3. And Rob, when we took the break, we were talking about ECS3, and I think the first thing I wanted to ask you about is, an IT product type contract, obviously the rate of technological change and new products that are put on the market, that's always been an issue in the government of getting the latest technology on contracts and available to customer agencies, always been a challenge. Can you talk a little bit about your modification process and what you do with that contract when one of your contractors wants to add a new product?
Sure. One of the things that makes this contract unique is the ability to add items very, very quickly for our contract holders. There's an electronic system that we have set up so that vendors submit to us proposals to add items to that contract. And we commit that we have a one-day turnaround that we review every proposal and give a yes or no answer within one day. That's contract, very active.
Right.
It's a very active contract.
Right. Well, yeah, to me, I'm going to use the word dynamic. I mean,
right.
in the sense of getting that. So you're doing all the vetting of the product, the things we talk about, like trade agreements, and making sure the price is reasonable and all that stuff as part of that mod, huh?
Absolutely. It's a lot of work for the contract holders, but it's also a lot of work for us. But we believe that, for this contract to be competitive and to meet the customer's needs, we've got to turn this around very quickly. Agencies want to be able to compete these requirements, compete them very quickly, and award them. And we've got to be able to, get these things on contract, make sure that the pricing is very competitive, and work with both the customers and contract holders to do that.
So you mentioned in the last segment that this ECS3 is about 10 years old. So got a couple questions there. Is like, in terms of the volume under the contract over the 10 years, what does that look like? That's one question, and then I would follow it up, or you can go right into it. Like, what are the plans for the future?
Well, that contract's been very active, used by almost every federal agency, heavily used within HHS and DOD. We've seen an increase in the use of that contract over the past 3 years. Last year was actually one of the biggest years. And use
really?
Of that contract right toward the end of that contract. We're actually right now in an extension year of that contract, and we're looking at issuing and competing a follow-on contract to be called CIOCS, which is going to stand for Chief Information Officer Commodity Solutions, CIOCS. So it's really going to be developed in line with OMB's initiative to consolidate and commodity purchasing, to also in line with helping CIOs meet their requirements. But it's really, it's going to be an aggressive year for us to get that contract out and get it awarded. But we want to make sure that when we do it and how we do it is in line with how OMB is aligning their initiatives for the CIOs. We believe that this contract is going to be, very competitive contract over the next 10 years to meet those commodity type solutions that the government's looking for.
Right. Well, I got a couple questions. Like, first, you mentioned that you've seen an uptick in the use of, the current one, ECS3, over the last couple of years. Do you have is there anything you see in the market that sort of as a result of why there's been that uptick in the use of your vehicle?
I think that we're seeing an uptick in the use of all of our contracts because the emphasis on saving money. Agencies mm-hmm. really need to find efficiencies. They need to find efficiencies in their acquisition processes, but they also need to find efficient and effective ways to buy IT at a very cost competitive price. Budgets are shrinking.
Sure.
We've got to align what we do with, with those efficiencies that are out there. And GWACs were created to create those efficiencies for agencies. And I think agencies are starting to look across the board and look where they can find those efficiencies, both in, as I said, the acquisition process, but also in the cost and pricing that they're paying for solutions. So I see, that as pushing people to think outside the box, think of the other ways of buying, think of using these types of vehicles.
Right, rather than creating
money.
Their own contracts.
Right.
So, and that's something that I know many in the procurement community are concerned about is unnecessary contract duplication. And that's sort of the purpose of the GWACs, right, fundamentally, right? As you mentioned at the top of the show, a streamlined process for acquiring information technology that's available government-wide. And it's much quicker and cost less money to do a task order competition than then first do a big contract that turn around then have to do multiple task order competitions. You skip that step and you save a lot. It seems to me it saves a lot of time and money for customer agencies.
Absolutely. It's not just that, but it also the economies of scale that you get when you're dealing with a government-wide acquisition contract. And when we go out and we set these requirements up, And we award these contracts, we're looking for contractors who are providing us the best pricing, the best cost structures, so that the government can see the cost savings that they get from buying off of a contract that has, billions of dollars being purchased off of it. And we can see the cost savings from, because the contract is set up to meet every agency's requirements. The contractors know that they have to be very aggressive in how they set up their structure
right.
for pricing.
It's a dynamic, competitive market,
right?
That you're managing. So, with regard to, we have ECS3, and you got the follow-on and CIOCS.
That's right.
I got it right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, is that what is the status? Where are you in that? Are you doing the business case now? As OMB said, go forth and do great things. Where is it right now?
We do sort of both things at once. We're putting together the business case, working with OMB to do that, but we're also at the same time putting together draft RFP.
Sure.
Looking at getting out there. We've already got some industry feedback through a special notice that we issued last year in FedBizOps. Enormous amount of feedback from industry. So we're looking at all that. We're looking at trying to get a draft RFP out soon, as well as getting OMB the official business case.
Right. So do you have any time frames when you think, or are you just that's what I thought. I figured I'm trying to make some news here, Rob. it's part of my job, right? that's I think something that folks would be interested who are listening, and because it is something that's if you haven't been in government and worked on these IT GWACs, which both of us have, You know, the business case process, it is a rigorous process, and it is something where you know it does, it has meaning, and it's you have to demonstrate, frankly, that it makes good sense, procurement sense, and business sense for the federal enterprise to do this. Can you talk a little bit about what that process looks like when you go to get your designation from OMB?
Yeah, well, as you said, it is a very, very lengthy process,
rigorous process.
You've got to be able to demonstrate your commitment to support OMB's initiatives as well as the entire federal government. So that's why there are only three agencies right now that have this authority to run these government-wide acquisition contracts, is because you've got to be able to show a track record of being able to provide these services for the entire federal government. It's not just setting up a contract and sitting there and saying, all right, everybody come and use it. There's a whole infrastructure behind that. There's an IT infrastructure. There's a customer service infrastructure. We've got to be able to show that we're able to provide those services throughout the federal government and provide them, at a very high level. And also that we're able to manage contracts of this size number of contract holders, so that the government doesn't lose the intent behind this program. There's got to be efficiencies. There's got to be cost savings.
And so there's one of the things you look to, like, you know, for example, you will point to you use data from ESC3, right? Would you use that kind of data and performance there to shape the business case and why it makes sense for you to do another one?
Sure. We would use, the analysis of our past experience with these contracts, but also, looking across the board, working with CIOs throughout the government to help structure these contracts. We don't just build these contracts within our own four walls. We're working with the industry partners. We're working with industry groups. We're working with small businesses. We're working with large businesses. And we're working with CIOs, OMB, across the federal government to make sure that when we structure these contracts, that they're not just structured for certain people to use. They're structured for everybody to be able to use.
Right, and I think what is one of the key things is flexibility. It seems to me, given what you've just described, that you can use the, across the federal enterprise, folks can see it as a potential, channel through which I can compete my requirements, and in contrast, companies can say I can compete for the work.
Right.
Yeah. So, hey, Rob, we're up against the very last break. So right now we do have to take a break, but. Today we're talking to Rob Cohen. Rob is the Acting Program Director for NITAC at NIH. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the federal marketplace. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today my guest is Rob Cohen. Rob is the Acting Program Director for NITAC at NIH, and Rob, under his responsibility, is COSP3, COSP3 Small Business, and ECS3, their electronic commodity IT contract vehicle, which, as Rob talked about in the last segment, they are looking to do a follow-on contract called CIOCS, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Commodity Solutions.
Right. So. And you are, as you mentioned, you're looking to structure it, consistent with IBM, consistent with OMB's, goals with regard to strategic sourcing and leveraging requirements and that sort of thing, right? Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
So you have these contract vehicles out there, Rob, and NIH has been very successful. NITAC's been successful in terms of customers utilizing them and that sort of thing. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, what are you hearing from your customers? And so when you talk to them, what is their number one priority when they're thinking about their IT needs?
Well, one of the things I like to do is I like to actually go out and do a lot of these trainings that we do at government offices and for both the CIO offices and contracting offices, because I ask this question, what do they want? So what do they care about? And what I hear a lot about, and I talk to customers who utilize our services and our contracts, and I ask them why, what's the most important thing and what drives you to want to do this? One of them is that first they found out about it. Because a lot of people, And what's the biggest challenge that we have is just getting out there and making sure that people know that this is available to them. Buyers have lots of options out there, and they don't necessarily get trained on every single option that's available to them. So, one of the things that we have a huge initiative is to get out and do 250 trainings throughout the federal government a year, get in front of them in a classroom environment and really show them how to use these contracts and why they're a good option. But what do they care about? They care about something that's easy to use. They care about a contract that's set up that's easy for them to place orders on. They care about a contract that's going to get them what they want faster. They care about a contract that's going to be cost competitive. And they care about making sure that they're going to maintain control. They are the acquisition official responsible for that task or delivery order. So they want to make sure that they're going to have that control. They want to know that that contract's going to be agile and flexible so that they can add terms and conditions that are specific to their agency or specific to their requirement. Those are the things they care about. And they also care about working with an organization like ours that is going to be responsive to them. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on customer service. And when somebody comes to us and they have a question, they place an order, or throughout the life of a task or delivery order, they have issues or concerns, we want them to call us. We have set up a customer support center in which every single inquiry, question, phone call is answered within 1 hour. We have a commitment to our customers that, you know, they're not going to wait for a response from us, or they're not going to not get a proper response from us. We will research, we will find out, and we will help them resolve any issues or answer any questions they have very quickly.
That's good. That's just took some notes here. Like you talked about, easy to use, get your requirements done quickly, price, maintaining control. Those are all, because I didn't know what you were going to say. And that's kind of interesting because it goes to making sure the process works for them. Their requirements are the technical requirements, but being able to actually execute, a lot of it has to do with the process. And if,
absolutely.
And if the GWACs and, your GWACs, CIOSP3 Small Business and ECS, if they address those things that which you have, that's a big selling point in terms of a customer agencies using. And it's a big benefit for the federal enterprise and ultimately the taxpayer. But I want to flip it around too, is what do you hear from your contractors about what they, is it the same sort of thing in terms of, their ability to compete? That's got to be quick, fast, because they have limited bid and proposal pools and that sort of thing. An interesting thought, just what do you hear on the flip side from your contract partners?
Well, the other thing that makes this type of program effective is the partnership with the contract community. We can't do anything that we do without contractors. They're the ones who are providing the services that the government's competing for. So we work very closely with our contract holder community, making sure that we set up an infrastructure for them as well, a system that allows them to be able to very quickly bid on requirements, a system that allows them to very easily structure their requirements and add items to their contracts or whatever it may be. Very quickly. We don't want to be a barrier to them to do business. We want to, set up processes and put things in place so that our contractors are successful. We had a kickoff meeting for our CIOSP3 and CIOSP3 Small Business this past summer, and the commitment that we made to our contractors is they made a commitment to bid on these contracts and spend a lot of money to an investment in getting on these contracts.
Uh-huh.
So our commitment to them is that we will do everything that we can do to make sure that they're successful over that 10-year period and that they're successful in being able to be able to bid, provide them the opportunities so that they can be effective in getting work and doing that work for different federal agencies throughout the government. So we feel very strongly that our partnership with industry is part of the one of the things in our program that really holds it together. We look to our industry partners to help guide us in setting up structures within our organization to help them do business. But at the end of the day, it's about making sure that our customers, our agencies throughout the government get what they want, and they get it at a fast and easy and a cost-effective way, but also that our contract holders are got that infrastructure behind them, that they're able to provide those services and provide those services at an effective price, you know, solving problems that the government has, and meeting those needs very quickly. And again, I can't reiterate enough that in meeting them in a way that is in partnership with the government, in you know, the idea is that everybody's moving towards cost savings. And,
sure.
And if a contractor can show how they're going to save the government money, that's how they're going to make money.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, we only have a couple minutes left, and I just want to, I always ask I often ask my guests some sort of big picture questions. And for the ones I picked for you are, well, first one, if you could make any recommendation to improve the procurement system, make it more efficient and effective, what would that be from your perspective based on your professional career?
Well, I truly believe that these GWAC type contracts are a very effective way of conducting procurements for the federal government. I think that one of the things that the government can do is look across the board at all different types of services and move towards consolidation of contracts. I think there are way too many contracts out there for, let's say, conference services or whatever it may
right.
be.
Right, sure.
But you know, if we were to effectively be able to set up a structure where certain agencies ran certain types of contracts and other agencies used those contracts to issue task and delivery orders against them, I think the government would save an enormous amount of money and the efficiencies that could be put into place to do that. And also, we have a dwindling acquisition workforce. I mean,
we can leverage expertise
in certain areas of contracting where you have your IT contracting people focused on IT contracts, and you have other people focused on different areas that are the larger needs for the government.
That's a great thought, and I couldn't agree with you more that contract duplication is a big issue. It's a cost driver for government because government's spending money to put those contracts in place when folks could be competing task orders, and it's a big cost driver for industry and bid and proposal costs, as you know, there's a limited pool of those. So that's a great thought. And, you know, we only have a couple minutes left, so I want to give you a chance to give the contact information for your program one more time before we go.
The website is www.nitaac.nih.gov. That's nitaac.nih.gov. Or you can email us at nitaacsupport@nih.gov.
Great. Rob, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Again, I want to thank my guest, Rob Cohen. Rob is the Acting Program Director for NITAC at NIH. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.